Hey, just left the store. I will be there shortly. Got something for you and the baby. So I will see you in a little bit. Yeah, put the beers in the freezer. And go have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. And since I was ready, we're going to have a great show today. I appreciate you joining us. Let's get the show started. Great topic to talk about. And right? I hope you had a great day today. So, what I want to talk about is copyright, since the other host is here right now, and guest here right now, we're going to wait for them, we're going to talk about copyright. So, an artist that play a lot on the station is an indie rock artist named Museum, who I play on my station a lot, when I play rock music. He posted from his album on his Facebook hit him with a copyright infringement. And what I know about this artist is that he creates music. He's the producer, the writer, you know, on the album. And so he put out his new album. It is Dunhill Project. Projects is spelled with a V and not S. And missionary.
Good evening. How y'all doing?
I am good. So right now we're talking about copyright. And copyright for anything for music, for books, because you can be hit with a copyright infringement, books as well, as you plagiarize somebody's work. But right
That's
now,
right.
talking about it as far as music goes. So I was saying, artists whose music I play on my station a lot when I play, he posted his music to Facebook and Facebook him with a copyright infringement and muted his music. So you see the post, you won't be able to hear the music because they muted it because of copyright infringement. How does Facebook give you a copyright infringement if you want to create music? You wrote the lyrics, you created the lyrics. So how is Facebook hitting you with a copyright infringement? But when he said that he got hit with copyright infringement, I asked what labels, you know, and normally, I post videos hitting with a copyright infringement on Facebook, and messages said some of the music to your video is muted because of the copyright, because whatever who owns the music, so that I, excuse me, I muted it. But if you're the creator of the music, produced it, you wrote it, there's no copyright infringement. To me, that means that your music's not that good, that it's similar to something that's out just now, just a little while ago, he posted it, got his copyright back. So he appealed it, saying, you know, showing It's his composition. He owns it. No one is no one's music. Sample nobody's music. He owns it. So they get back to him. Because he said to me, when I asked him the question, that YouTube, so that he posted his stuff to YouTube, even though YouTube didn't flag him copyright, it's like they own the right kind of own his stuff. He has proof that he posted his original composition, so and claim copyright infringement. And so I know you, Missionary King, you wrote a book. What do you, I, you don't do music, you wrote a book. In the literary world, what do you think about that, the people claiming copyright?
Okay, actually, whoa. Let's back up a step, okay? When it comes to copyright now, there is also our group, the Ashtabula Angels. There was someone who wrote a song, the music and lyrics for my testimony that's in a song. Now, when they wrote it, yes, they own the copyright to that song, the rights to the song and the music. But when they gave us copyright permission to reproduce that song as a group, okay? So the Ashtabula Angels got the copyright or the permission to produce that song. We're the only ones that are doing that song, okay? Now, because we have the permission from the writer, the composer. That becomes our copyright on the song because we're the ones singing it.
Uh-huh.
Now, if, for example, you came and started singing that song, you'd be infringing on that copyright because we got it originally from the original writer, Wendy Clark. The song Just Because I Don't See You. Okay? But the only way you could get the rights to that song, you'd have to go through her. Okay? Just like, okay, for example, say you wanted to take a quote from my book and you wanted to write exactly word for word something out of my book. You would have to, in your book, your writing, you would have to first write me requesting permission to use a quote from my book, asking for permission, explaining what page, what line, etc. And then if I gave you permission, then I'm giving you permission to copy that, but you have to put it in quotes in your book. And then in the acknowledgement section, you have to, under the copyright of your book, you have to acknowledge where you got that in, that quote, that information, acknowledging that it came from God's True Plan for Marriage and Sex by God's Elijah to the Church, found on page X, line X, given by permission of God's Elijah to the Church.
Yeah.
However, if you did not, and you just started writing down word for word something out of my book, then that's plagiarism. That goes against copyright.
So
just like it does with,
the same thing
Road is with music. If you reproduce practically note for note a song or the lyrics off of a song, that's plagiarism.
Mm-hmm.
infringing upon a copyright.
So let's just jump to the dictionary, Ken, and six, we are talking about right now copyright, because I mentioned before you came in, and I play a lot on my station, his music to Facebook, and Facebook muted it, saying copyright infringement, and he just got the paperwork today to say it, that he owns that, that is copyright. He made the music, the lyrics, he ain't infringing nothing. But, you know, with Facebook, you know, they said he did and muted it. So, like, the post, you won't be able to hear the music because they muted it. And now that he has the paperwork to say he owns the copyright, unmute his stuff. That's what we're talking about, Missionary Camp, about his book. Because he doesn't, you know, write or produce music that he would know about the copyright or the literary. He has a book. And also, this topic right here from TikTok, there's an artist, her name is Iniko, but she's non-binary, so you call her they, them. So being that she's binary, she they, them. So you don't call her Iniko, you call her they, them when you meet them. She has a song, and it's called Iniko. A lady came across
the Road, I'm going to have to call back in. My internet's giving me a glitch here.
You got to explain. We already talked about this. Just call back in.
Just call back in, Mr. Lincoln.
It's going to be a couple of minutes.
Okay. So
the more I talk.
So as I'm explaining, so the song is called Jerry. Would like the song. So this is so on TikTok, those who use TikTok know the For You page. Those who don't use TikTok, on TikTok, there's a For You page where videos come through down on your, like you say, your timeline. When we say, when we speak in social media, we say timeline. So people's videos come down the timeline. So a new song, Jericho, came down this lady's timeline. She took her song. She changed the lyrics, kept the melody, and reposted a video singing this song, right? Singing this song. And a new lyric, the same melody, the way me singing it, that's how she's singing her lyrics, this, you know, music. So when people asked her, this lady about why she created it. She said that, you know, her song went down her time so many times. She, you know, it sometimes a song more than one it gets catchy. You know what I mean? You start to like
it. You know what? Every other word you speak is cutting out. So I don't know if you're far away from the phone or need to get closer to the phone, because every other word you're saying is cutting out.
Can you hear me now?
Keep talking.
So it keeps coming down her 4 years, so she decided to change the lyrics, keep the melody and everything of that song, but the lyrics. So she posted her version, people seen her version, because she speaks about God. But the thing is, if you take her lyrics, it's still in song. You understand what I'm saying? Producer, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
That even a person made the lyrics, it's still a original person's song. Even though the lyrics are still song, because you got the same cadence, melody, how she was, the cadence, how Nika was singing the song, this lyric is singing it way with her lyrics. The music, the melody, everything is the same, but the lyrics. And this is why we're talking about, right? So now this version is very popular because she's speaking about God. And so she goes on this little speaking tour to talk about the song. And after talking to the host, oh, yeah, I rewrote it because the song was, it was demonic. And that Aniko song was demonic, and that's why she changed the lyrics to the song. Like, you can tell a person's song, you can change it once you use the same melody, the same cadence, when everything else is the same, but the lyric, you are caught up infringing on this person's copyright. Like, she's doing a whole tour talking about the song she created when she didn't create nothing but words. Like a poet, you know, like a word artist will create a poem. Just speak the poem, and then it comes down to it. Understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can't do that.
And so who's non-binary, you know, people tagging her and letting her know this was going on, and she's like, "Please don't tag me because it's messing with her mental." She don't want her to be messed up. That someone would really go and take her song, take out lyrics, put their own lyrics, and say, oh, her version is demonic, which has nothing to do with anything religious. A Nico song has nothing to do with anything. I'm going to pull it up through TikTok. I'm gonna let y'all listen to the song. Y'all listen to the song.
Watching you.
No. Good. Watching. Sorry about that. So I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Yeah. Well, this is a clip of the song. That song, you heard it like this? She's singing a cappella version. That's not what the music ended. You see how she sang her cadence and singing. The lady repeated that same cadence, repeated word for word her lyrics.
And this is a TikTok person?
A TikTok person. And I guess,
what's
you
up?
Know, because she mentioned God in her lyrics, that now these people are asking her to come and she's doing a tour off of a song that's not even hers. The only thing that's hers that she claims is hers is the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
She's going around saying that Anika song is demonic, basically calling Aniko demonic when it has nothing to do with religion. So what people who like her song are doing is when they post a video, they're using her song so that it's flooded with her song and got ladies coming down their time before you pitch. Because I heard that, I said that sounds just like a Negro song. Only thing you change the lyrics. You changed on her copyright. You go and say her song is demonic, but it mentions nothing about God. It's not a religious song.
And you got to be very careful when you are creating music. And if you want to do a person's song, the proper thing to do is to get permission, from the publisher of the song. And you can do it. When you go just doing it, that's when you get in trouble. I mean, when Coolio did Stevie Wonder's Pastime Paradise, now Stevie Wonder kept 85% of the song of the publishing, but Coolio still had 15%. So he still
right. And
that's where you got to have the business first. And you got to be careful with that.
You can't enter people's right. And
okay, just like, for example, okay, a well-known artist who does things like what you're talking about, take other songs and put new words to the same song. Cletus T. Judd, everybody's familiar with Grandpa Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Well, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Well, he redid the song, obviously got permission by the original writer, and he rewrote the words to Grandpa Got Run Over by a John Deere.
That's the same thing David does. Makes this,
right.
This song.
And see, and that's just one example, okay? He did a lot of songs like that. So, but he gets permission from the writers of those songs and the artists of the songs who sing the original songs, and he just redoes them. But he gets permission.
Yeah. That would be like if, even though I recorded the Wolfgang's album, but that would be like me remaking their album and not getting permission. Even though I recorded it, I still have to get permission. Hey, I would like to redo this album. And if I get in touch with them and they like the term, him and Wolfgang and his wife signs off on it, then I'm good. But I couldn't just go and create, that's how that happens. You have to get permission from the artist, especially if they're still alive. You get permission, and if they like the idea and agree to the terms, you work out all the business, and then I'm clear to record. You go in the studio and record. But I couldn't, just after I get off this show, go in the studio, hey, I'm going to record Clearly Spoken Over.
Or even just like the ones, or even just the one song, just because I don't see you, Six can't go in there and say, hey, I want to redo that song in my voice and publish it saying, hey, I like that song because, hey, I'm blind myself. He can't do that. He has to get permission from us.
And see, this is what these younger artists aren't doing, and some old too. Enjoy your dinner, Trumpet. He just ran away. It's Trumpet's dinner time, 8:25. If anybody can tell me that next Tuesday, there'll be a surprise for you. When is Trumpet's dinner time? All right. So it's a nice album. I mean, Clearly Spoken is a nice album. Just because I don't see you, it's inspiring, but I would have to secure the right to record that song again.
Mm-hmm. So this thing, was it a copyright infringement?
Say it again.
So Donald Trump's son, Eric, his wife, did copyright infringement. So
how's that?
So you know, Tom Petty, know who that is, right?
Yeah, he's dead now.
Right. So he did a song, I can't remember the name of the song, but he did a song, and you know, people using it like for political use. But she did this song. She can't sing. She sounded tired. I heard it. She sounds cool. And she redid this song and was like, and was up that no one was streaming her song. She talked about it, said that she never got rights from Tom's family to be able to use his song. She never got permission from Tom's family to be able to use his song. I can't think of the song, but it I'm just.
What's the name of that song? I know what you're talking about.
I think of the name of the song, but it's a Petty song.
Well,
a lot of politicians use the song, but I can't think of the name of the song. She did an interview. She was on crying because nobody was in her song. Then the host who was interviewed with asked her to sing a little bit of it, and she sounded terrible. Can't sing. But she took this song and was and record her singing it, thinking she was going to do, like, she was going to get a Petty number if people use her song. If you don't have permission from the family who owns the right to Tom Petty's music, cannot any song his words and his music with your voice on his streaming platform.
Man, what's the name of that song? I know what song you're talking about, too. You got Alexa ask her.
I don't have it plugged in. Can't call Alexa.
Oh, my God.
But it's like, what is wrong with these people? You understand? What is wrong with these people thinking they can just infringe on copyright? Cause she, I think she's doing. I think she's trying to make money for Donald Trump. Make money for her father-in-law. When you put a streaming app, you're not making a lot of money. You're not gonna make millions of dollars on a streaming app. You have to have trillions in order for you to make decent amount of money from music being streamed. Have like a trillion streams. You gotta have a trillion streams for you to make a decent amount of money. You can't pay that much when you put your music up on streaming platform. And put yourself up there, you have to prove you own the copyright. Because the streaming app can having your music up and own the rights to it, and it's some plus of somebody else. So
yeah.
I wanted to talk about that, and then internet is crazy. Jada Pinkett Smith, because now that her memoir is coming out, she's telling her business, doing, you know, things on different TV shows, talking about her book, and, you know, doing one-on-one interviews, telling all the business. And one thing she said was that before Tupac went to Harlem Rikers, he put, and that she went to see him in Rikers.
And now you're telling me Tupac. You're telling me Tupac proposed to her.
Yes, yeah, this before she got with Will. Before she got with Will, this came out her own mouth. I proposed to her. And that she went to see him when he was up in Rikers. And for those who don't know, Rikers in jail, New York City.
Wow.
But someone debunked. There's a TikToker who did a video that debunked what she said.
Yeah, Rikers is on the island. How'd she get to the island?
There's a, you take a bus. The bus. There's a bus that goes there. That takes you there for their visit.
Really?
But when you go visit, they have to put you on. You have to be the people that they put on the list for you to come with them. So, if your name is not on the list, it'd be dumb of you to go visit someone in jail and you're not on their visitor. So, the person debunked her story. She said, before Tupac went to jail, Tupac was engaged to a girl named Keisha. That's who his fiance before he went to jail. Closer to the jail, she can be, so she'd be able to see Tupac when she can. She said, this happened around 94, 94.
Say it again.
She said that this happened when Tupac jail was in 94. That's when all of this happened. And she said another reason why that Jada's story about Tupac is debunked is because when I'm trying to think. Will and her on set, I think one of those movies or something, she said, because I think Will, in his book, but she said that Will and Cherie were getting a divorce. That's his first wife. They were getting a divorce. She said,
okay.
Will told Jada and asked, are you single? She said yes, and then flew away to L.A. to be with Will. It was around the same time that Tupac was in jail.
Okay.
So if Will, if you flew to L.A. to be with Will, was you in New York visiting Tupac? To me, that is, it doesn't make any sense. You was
so why would she time. Say that?
She, cause
so why would she?
She's trying to sell a book. All this stuff she's putting out, that she's talking, she goes on speaking tours about her book. Everything she's dropping this so people will go and buy the book.
Wow.
You have to think. She said her world separated for 7 years. Her world has been separated for 7 years. Since 2016, they have been separated.
So if they were separated 7 years, then why the hell did he get crazy at the Oscars then, if they were separated?
I Because I heard, this is what someone said that back in the day, like used to joke,
Let me finish what I'm saying.
So back in the day, like Chris Rock used to joke about Jada, and Will told Chris, stop joking on Jada. I think when the Oscar came with jokes, you know,
I don't want to stop saying
jokes about my woman. There he goes, saying jokes about my woman. But get this, when they asked her about the Oscar slap, she said she was shocked. She was shocked when that happened because Will called her his wife, even though they were separated at the time.
Wow.
And she asked her, she said no. In August, I've seen if that's like she will. Even though if that was in 2016, so now, and that entanglement happened, why was it a big deal that Cena had to make a song about it? I don't think nobody cared about, but still and all, he made a song about it. You and Will had to sit at the table and have a discussion about it. And you
my wife's
Cena is a family friend. And when I visited him in the hospital, they let him stay with them.
Wow.
She don't get that.
Yeah.
Getting all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's not making you. It's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
I think Will is hurt. I don't think he's hurt by it, but the people are taking that she's immaculate and Will with everything. This is crazy.
My wife's name is
Ultra.
She's mom.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
So, Mary Kane, I want to ask you this question.
My wife's name is Ultra.
Miss Ken.
Heard what Will said. Heard what he said. Yeah.
Missionary.
I'm listening.
So, Mike, since you're a man of God, she said that she never cheated on Will, but she had an affair with someone else. Isn't that considered cheating if they are separated?
Jada and what's up, Will? How you doing? Yo, in the studio recording. Yo. Let me ask you a question, Will, and I'll let you get back to your session. So when you and Jada were at the Oscars, y'all were separated? Okay, all right. I'll call you back. Heard what he said.
We have to get back with him. We want to thank Will for calling in. We're answering my call. Huh?
Okay. Now, the question was what, Road?
So, she said she never cheated on Will Smith. And an affair with a person isn't still considered cheating. They were separated.
No. If they're already separated, okay? If they're separated, okay? Now,
mm-hmm.
The big question is, okay, now, if their divorce is not final, okay, but if they're actually classified, separated, okay?
I don't think I think it's a legal separation. They're just separated.
Say again?
I don't think legal separation, like with the court, they just separated.
Okay, they separated, but they didn't do anything with the courts.
Right.
Okay. Well, in this case, then that becomes a legal formality, okay? Technically, they themselves, see, there's a difference we got to understand, Rode. There's one big difference, and I make this point in my book, okay? There's a big difference, humongous difference, between God's law and man's law. We have to understand, when Adam and Eve stood in the Garden of Eden, and God put Adam and Eve together, God didn't say, okay, Adam, Eve, before I perform this ceremony, in order to do it, I have to have a couple witnesses here. I'll bring a couple angels down with me. And we're going to have you guys, after you say your vows, you're going to have to sign this document and have the angels sign it as witnesses to prove you're married. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When Abraham and Sarah were married, they did not have a piece of paper. When Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to wife, there was no piece of paper. When Jacob, who became Israel, had his four wives, all four of them, there was no piece of paper. When you go through all of those marriages that are listed in the Bible, not one place do you see a piece of paper saying, okay, this is the husband, this is the wife. What it is, man decided to say, okay, we need this piece of paper to prove that Joe married Mary. Okay? It's man who did that. But we have to understand that God originally had no such documentation. It's man who put the documentation there. Man who put the documentation there. God didn't have it. Originally, marriage was a covenant, not a contract. Now, what makes the difference between the two? Covenant is an agreement based upon trust between the parties. That means when I say to my spouse, I'm going to love you until death do us part, we don't need a piece of paper to say, okay, I'm going to fulfill that promise. It's based upon trust that I'm going to do it. While a marriage contract, where they get this prenup agreement and all this other junk written up by man, that's a contract that says, I am the husband, you are the wife. You will wash the dishes, I will cut the lawn. Da, 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 da. And you spell out everything. And that if you don't, I'm going to take so much of this, and you're going to take this, and I'm going to take this, and you're going to take that. Okay? That's
mm-hmm.
a contract because you don't really trust the person to keep their word. It's called a contract. Basically the same thing like when you hire somebody to put the roof on your house. You say, okay, I'm the homeowner. I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars to put the for the materials and the time to put a roof on my house and redo it based upon your skill as a contractor to get the job done. And your part as a contractor is you will provide the materials and the manpower to get it done in a reasonable amount of time. And if it's not done or there becomes a problem, you will rectify it and make it right, or else I could sue your behind. That's called a contract, because you don't trust them to do the job. Really is the truth. You don't trust them to do the job. Well, if it was a covenant, you would say to the you'd say to the guy that you know that knows how to do roofing, hey, why don't you do my roof and I'll pay you so much, and that would be it. You'd shake hands on it the old-fashioned way. You shake hands on it, and that contract would be as binding as if it were written on a piece of paper. But no, we don't do things the covenant way anymore. No, we do it by a contract because we don't trust each other. Okay? Well, that's what's happened with marriage. They have a piece of paper. Well, these two people, if they separated, the separation is within their hearts because they separated physically. Now, the aspect of whether one is cheating or not, well, the fact is they've already separated. So really, they're not cheating. The separation on paper just has not occurred. So if they would, one go say, well, you're cheating on, hey, we're already broke up. We're in separate households. Excuse me, that's not cheating. If you were in the same household with me, it'd be different. You see what I'm saying? Because they've already agreed that they're going to live in separate household. They're already separated. They've made that agreement already, that covenant. Okay, we're going to be apart from each other. You do what you want to do. I'll do what I want to do. So, no, that would not be classified cheating.
Okay.
But if they were in the same household, yeah, it would be. So, even if basically if they said, okay, we're separated, but we're living in the same house, no, then it would be cheating because they're still in the same household. But if they're separate and they're in two different households, even if it was next door to each other, they're separate households.
Okay.
And if all they got to do is get rid of the – get finished the legalities to finish doing the separation by getting a divorce or whatever – then that's all they got to do, get the separation, get the legalities out of the way. Because remember, we're talking about two things here, God's law, man's law. They're two separate things. Okay, I'll give you another prime example. God's law says, be not drunk with wine wherein there's excess. The key words in that verse being drunk and excess. Okay? But man's law says, in the privacy of your own home, you could go down here to the tavern, get drunk, or you could go in the privacy of your own home. If you got enough booze, you could get yourself bombed off your gourd. The only thing the law of man's law says, just don't get behind the wheel and harm somebody else. I'm all for that. Don't get off your bombed off your gourd and go behind a wheel. You shouldn't be behind a wheel, okay? But see, there's a difference between God's law and man's law. God's law is more strict. God says you're not even supposed to get drunk. He didn't say you can't drink. He said you're supposed to have moderation. You're supposed to be temperate in all things. That means, hey, look, if you're going to drink, you're not supposed to get to the point where you're losing your ability to have good judgment. But man's law says, no, that's okay. You could lose your inabilities. You could lose your ability to have good judgment as long as you do it in the privacy of your own home or in a tavern. And then when you're done at the tavern and you're loop-eyed and loop-legged, well, just get a cab, go home. So you could, well, then it's okay if you want to beat on your wife and kids because you're so drunk you're not thinking straight. Well, I'm sorry, but no, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. So basically there is a separation there of the two laws once again. So does that help explain that, Road?
Yeah, that does help a little bit because if she thinks you have cheated, then but
you know, Road, I think you got a phone that's a little crummy right now or a bad connection because you keep breaking up in and out.
Yep.
At first I thought it was mine, but...
I don't know what to say about y'all. The more I talk, the more you guys do the opposite.
No, I just didn't know she knew that her phone was breaking up there, hoping that she'd get a little clearer signal. Because I didn't know if you noticed that, Six. Because it's been difficult to understand some of what she's been saying.
You went in there and rebooted your...
It was still playing for the people over in Israel. So...
And, Six, speaking of that... I finally got the clip that Tim recorded, got it all cleaned up because there was, you know, a couple things together. So we'll be ready to play that on Friday. It's an 8.5-minute clip. Okay?
Friday where?
On the Saturday show I meant. The Saturday show. Remember I was mentioning that on Sunday?
Yeah.
So I've got it ready. It's an 8.5-minute clip, just to let you know.
Okay. Yeah. Glad he's all right over there.
Yeah, but just to let you know, he does say in the clip that he's close enough to it that he actually hears the rockets and everything, and the warning alarms and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you still with us, Road, or did we lose you?
I don't know, but you're enjoying Six in a Row here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We're at the Southern Network every Tuesday, 7 Central, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. I don't know. Maybe her call dropped. I don't know. So we are in October. I mean, we're in October.
Yeah, I do think so. It's the 17th.
Yeah.
Coming fast on time with all the goblins and ghosts going to visit your door.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and we will be having safety tips for you little ghosts and goblins. So stay tuned for that. Halloween was fun when I was growing up. Pretty fun. But nowadays, we really have to be careful because it's getting close enough where parents are going shopping for costumes, you know. Now, Ken, when I grew up, we had the costumes that came in the box. You had the costume that you stepped into. And with the two little straps that tied in the back, and you had the mask. Fail. either one of my ties that you tie up, sometimes that would break, or the rubber band would break on the mask. Now, this happened a couple of times. Now, one time, I actually was a devil, I think like in fifth grade, sixth grade. I had the devil outfit, and thank God wanted me to wear that because the little face broke. And I just set out the little parade because we used to go around to each floor with our costumes on. And then after that, we would go in the gym and parade around, you know, in our costumes. Well, that particular time I didn't because, like I said, my mask had broke. So, yeah. Fun times. You know, only thing we had to worry about was, you know, people put razor blades in the apple. You know, we had to worry about that. But now you got to worry about people putting pills mixed in with the candy. You got to worry about that. So we'll be having more tips coming up as we get closer to Halloween.
Well, six. At least you had that memory. I never got to get into many Halloween things when I was a kid.
Wow.
The only time I got to do anything with Halloween was I made my own costume and walked around the schoolyard, you know, around the school, but I had to make my own costume at school and then do it there because...
Your parents didn't care.
Exactly, Ruthie. You said it.
What happened?
Because my parents and them, they, which in this case it was my grandparents, they didn't give a rip. They wasn't going to do nothing like that. They wasn't going to buy me no costume. They had to keep that money for themselves.
Well, damn. Well, what did they give you?
Nothing. They weren't going to buy no costume for me and spend that money on me.
Wow.
Can you imagine people like that?
They had to keep the money for themselves. They had to have it so they can spend it on this big fancy house of theirs and big fancy cars and stuff. They weren't going to spend it on me.
They didn't care about their kids at all.
But you know what I made for myself to be a costume one year?
What's that?
I had the teacher get me one of these big refrigerator boxes, okay? Like a box that you'd find a refrigerator would come in, right?
Yeah.
You know, brand new. And
yeah.
I took it and I made some cuts into it and designed it and made it look like the front end of a, you know, like a flat-nosed Peterbilt truck.
Yeah.
And I cut the front windshield out, you know, made the windows. The side windows, and what I did is I climbed up underneath the inside of that box where the, you know, where the driver would be, and then the back end I had it designed, made it look like the wheels, and I painted it on the outside to look like a real truck, and that's what I did is I went around inside the truck.
Wow.
Sliding that box around. So I was basically a truck driver.
All right, that's interesting. Wow.
All it did is cost me some time to make it, but it was pretty cool.
Right.
So my costume
was
actually the biggest costume of everybody's in the school.
Huh. Interesting.
Yep.
All right, I don't know where Road went.
Yeah, well, get this, Six. Guess what I'm doing? Guess what I'm doing while I'm listening to Six and Road?
What, building something?
No, I'm making beef stew in a slow cooker.
And guess who gave it to us? Emily gave us an extra one because she had one. So we got a slow cooker now.
What did Ruthie just say?
And Emily was the one who gave us the slow cooker because we didn't have it. So she gave us one because she had two of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so now we got a slow cooker and we're making some beef stew.
All right.
You'll have to get an air flight. Come on over and eat.
Every time I open the lid to stir it,
yeah.
It smells so good.
Honey, when you get a moment, something gets stuck in the washer. I can't get it out.
All right.
I need to get
it. You getting hungry yet, sir?
Yeah.
He's still cuter than me.
So we want to say rest in peace. We want to say rest in peace. If you were a Three's Company fan like myself, we lost Suzanne Summers, who portrayed Chrissy Snow on the 1976 sitcom Three's Company, alongside Joyce DeWitt, John Ritter. Suzanne Summers played Chrissy Snow when she passed away at age 76, though, from the Six Eyes Radio Network, Road to Stardom Network. We want to send our condolences to her family, her friends, her fans at this difficult time. Great show. I still watch it. I go to sleep to Three's Company. One of the shows I watch before I go to sleep. Great talent. And the only ones that's still left with us from that show is Joyce DeWitt, Janet. She played Janet. Richard Klein, who played Larry Dallas. We have Priscilla Barnes. Come on. Priscilla Barnes. God, what was her name? She played Cindy. She played Cindy. God, I can't think of her name right now. But anyway, those are the ones who are still left from that show, Three's Company. Because you know we lost Don Knotts. We lost Audrey Lindsay. We lost Norman Fell, who played Mr. Roper. We lost John Ritter. And now we lost Suzanne Summers. So that's still a great show. Great show. I love it.
All right. So, Six, actually, what do you think about this situation over in Israel?
Ken, from how you explained it, talking about this is stem back from biblical times of two brothers not getting along, it's crazy. I mean, I thought the only people who had problems in the Bible was Cain and Abel. And now you're telling me Abraham had a problem with his brother, and it just doesn't make any sense because now it's built over into our current time of 2023, and you have innocent people getting killed. You had a six-year-old get stabbed 26 times by the 71-year-old landlord because he feared Muslims, and it just doesn't make any sense. That baby didn't do that to nobody. Those kids who were beheaded, they didn't do anything to nobody. The people who got killed over there, they didn't do anything. And this is just stems from greed. It stems from people who are disenfranchised within themselves. They're not happy. Misery loves company. And now it's spilling over in today. Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that we are fighting over something that ain't even ours. We don't own none of this. We are leasing everything from God. We're leasing everything from him. Our cars, our houses, our clothes, our luxury items, We don't own none of that stuff. We're leasing it from God. And it doesn't make any sense. My studio, leasing it from God. You know, so it just doesn't make any sense, man. It doesn't make any sense. So it's just my prayer for calmness for the whole world. It ain't about a color. It ain't about an ethnicity. It's about the human race. Black, white, yellow, green. Pick any 64 colors in a box of crayons you want. It's about the human race. And if anything didn't bring us closer than this COVID, I don't know what will, because we are all been on the same playing field. We've experienced loss. We experienced dropped finances. We've experienced increase in goods. So everybody, black, white, yellow, green, was affected. So that's my take on it. And with that, I'm complete.
Well, Six, you hit it right on the head there, okay? See, the biggest problem is we got – Like you said, we got this fighting, and here we are, okay? We got these people fighting over, you know, this land, and each one thinking they had the exclusive rights to the land.
Here you go, Ruth.
And, well, the whole point is, us as Americans, okay, yeah, as America's done to the, we're going to put it in modern terms so that we understand that from the Bible, as we do to the Jewish nation, okay, God's people, okay, so, yeah, if we bless them, God's going to bless us, okay? Well, but here's the big point that I want to make here. Yes, that's true. But do you really think God is going to bless us? Yeah, he's going to bless us for blessing Israel. But do you think he's still going to bless us while we're killing, what, several million unborn babies? While we're murdering them? Christians sit there thinking, okay, we're going to get, God is going to bless us, okay? We think that we're going to get blessed by, God's going to bless us because we're blessing Israel. Okay, yeah, that's true. That's a biblical principle. But is he going to bless us at the same time when we're in rebellion ourselves?
No.
You can't be half in rebellion and half blessing. You can't be doing half of what God says and yet the other half not. You got to do it all God's way or not all God's way. God don't accept fence straddlers. Luke 11:20-3 made it very plain. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And isn't that interesting? I bring that verse up. And what has Pastor Bonnet been talking about on Sundays and Mondays at present? Harvest. And what did Jesus say? He that gathereth. That sounds like harvest. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Basically, you're either with Christ or you're against him. You can't be half and half. You can't be half on the fence. Oh, I'll bless Israel, but yet, well, hey, I'm going to vote and accept homosexuals in and say, well, that their lifestyle is okay, when God said very clearly, that lifestyle was an abomination. You can't sit there and say, okay, I'll help Israel, but yet go killing, thou shalt not kill, and murder millions of unborn babies. You're a hypocrite.
There's something wrong with that picture.
And like you just pointed out, Six, we get involved with this junk, and we think that God is over there happy with us.
No, I don't think so.
I think not.
I don't think so.
And I'm complete now. If you want to say anything else, Six.
Well, I just, like I said, I want everybody to get home safe. I want the Americans to get home safe. And I don't want any more killings of no one. I want everybody to just get home safe and just get back to love and harmony. I mean, that's what God wants. That's what, you know, people who fought for equality wanted. Martin Luther King, that's what he wanted. He wanted people to get along just by conversating, getting along. Wasn't about a race. It was about the people. It was about the character of the person. And that's what he wanted. And for this not to be happening in 2023, you can kind of say he died in vain. Because, like I said, COVID has brought us together. Because back in the day, for whatever reason, learned behaviors, black and white, stayed in one corner of their own little world. Okay? Only time they got together when they had to go to school, when schools were segregated. When the schools were when they desegregated the schools, that's when everybody came together. Okay? But before that, you know, everybody stayed on their own side of the world. And then, you know, growing up, you know, people were kind of forced to interact with one another. You had some people that didn't care. My best friend was Rocky. I don't know whatever happened to Rocky, but that was my best friend. He was Caucasian, and I don't know what happened to him, but that was my buddy, Rocky. And I don't know, he kind of looked like Bill Gates. That's who he looked like. I don't know whatever happened to him. But it just doesn't make any sense, man. Like I said, with this COVID, you know, everybody got together, everybody got along, and people became closer, you know, because everybody was kind of taught the learned behavior. Oh, well, you know, you stick with your own kind. Well, that's the most dumbest shit in the world because you miss out on so much. It's the diversity, it's the differences that make the world go round. Hold on for 1 minute, please.
You know, Six, that's a good point, you know. Martin Luther King, he had that right. We should learn to love each other. But yet, here's what's funny. He was a preacher, but it never seemed to stick. People said it kind of caught on. But I'm sorry to say, even in the churches, it didn't really stick that well. When you think about it, we still got the problems. I mean, yeah, there's some laws that have been put in place and made things a little better, and I thank God for that. But we got a long, long way to go. Because, I mean, think about it. He wanted everybody to be together and be unified and love each other. But I made this observation before, and I'll make it again. I mean, how many white folk, okay, how many people that are Caucasian go around into black communities and knock on doors and invite them to their churches? and vice versa. How many people of color go into the white neighborhoods and knock on doors and say, I'd like to invite you to our church? Now, if anybody should be showing love and inviting each other to their churches, it should be the Christians.
Yeah.
Should be making the first, the first show of goodwill.
Right.
But no, we're still segregated.
That's sad.
And that was not what Dr. Martin Luther King wanted.
Right.
And if we as Christians can't do it, how do we expect those outside the church to do it? Good question. All right. Well, Six, since it looks like we got Road Knot here, are we looking at possibly ending the show or what? Unless you got a different topic.
Or you want to stay together.
Hello? Do you hear me, Six?
Missionary King, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. There you are, Road. Go ahead.
I won't do Direct Connect anymore. Unless I'm doing it by myself.
All right. Well, what do you think of the situation over there in Israel there, Rose?
I think it's crazy because Hamas is, they say Hamas is a terrorist group. Are Hamas Palestinians or are they Israelis? That part I don't know. But they say they are a terrorist group. All I know is that they caused this war. Innocent children and people are being killed on the daily. And then their war started because of the piece of land. Is it that the Palestinians are on or that the Israelis are on?
Yeah, but the sad thing about the way Hamas works is they take and they build their underground tunnels under hospitals and schools. And knowing that Israel, their stand on life, that Israel stands for life, and how they will not attack a school or a hospital. And Hamas, then, when they go to attack Israel, they know that Israel would probably not attack back because they don't want to attack hospitals or schools. And so they play dirty, using those people as like a human shield, which I think is dirty pool.
That's crazy. To use children as human shields. I don't understand why they're fighting over land.
Well, Road, as I pointed out,
they don't,
their name
is not on the deed of the land.
Well, like I explained before on a Saturday show, Road, and I'll explain here. Okay. It goes back to Abraham, okay? He had two sons, one by a slave woman, which was Sarah's handmaid,
Hagar,
who was given to Abraham to wife because Sarah at the time could not have children. She bore him his first child in his older age named Ishmael. Okay, Ishmael. Then later God told Abraham, no, he's not going to be your heir, but the son that's going to come through Sarah's own body would be your heir, and that son's name would be Isaac. And that would be the son of promise, which obviously later would bring the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. That was the son who brought the Jewish people. Now, God, through Isaac, gave the promise of the land. However, he never told Abraham to write off Hagar or her son and say, well, just dump them and treat them like dogs. When Sarah finally got to the point when Isaac was born, she said, because she saw Hagar's son, Ishmael, sitting there mocking Isaac, she said, hey, send away this bondwoman and her son. And God said to Abraham, okay, go ahead and do that, because Isaac is the one that's going to be the one with promise. Now, God did not say, send Hagar and her son away like dogs, like prisoners. But Abraham did. Now, here, remember, like I said, she was supposed to have been his wife, because Sarah had given this woman to him as wife. But what does he send her away with? Just a bottle of water and a loaf of bread. That's it for her and Ishmael. That was it. One loaf of bread and a bottle of water, and he says, goodbye. Basically, I'm going to be kind of bold here. As the George Jones song said, when the wife had given her husband a bird as a present, and the bird was a parakeet, and the parakeet started telling on the husband about messing around on her, and then she went to leave, he gave her back the bird, okay? Well, that's basically what Abraham did to Hagar. He gave her the bird, okay? And ever since then, the sons of Ishmael, who are the descendants of Ishmael, who basically are the Arab people, the ones who are Arab that teach about Allah, those people, because they are descendants of Ishmael, they feel they have as much right to the land as the sons of as Isaac.
Yeah,
where's my coffee?
I'm okay.
Okay, and they feel they have as much right, which in their own way they do, okay? But the promise had been given to Isaac that he would inherit the land. So the big argument since that time is the children of Israel say, quote, Ishmael was the bastard, quote, bastard son, unquote, of Abraham. While the Arab people say that the Jewish people have stolen the land that is their rightful birthright, because they were their son was the firstborn, and because their father Abraham sent their mother away in shame, like a dog. And ever since then, that's what the whole battle has been about over the land, because of the way Hagar was sent away and because of the way that the Jewish people were made a promise for the land, and they've been battling over this instead of saying, hey, wait a minute. They need, instead of sitting down and saying, okay, hold the bus, back up the truck, Ishmael, you're my brother. You are the legitimate brother because you were born of my same father. And so the Israel people getting their heads out of their behind before they light a stinky one and blow their brains out, instead of doing that and getting smart and saying, hey, he is officially, yes, he is my older brother, half-brother. So, hey, he has just as much right, and he does have a birthright. And then the Arab people say, you know, hey, yeah, so Abraham, my father, treated my mother like a dog, but is it worth killing people over and getting their heads screwed on straight and saying, no, that's not worth killing people. But no, they have had this battle for centuries, ever since Hagar was kicked out shamefully. And that road is the heart of the battle. Does that help you understand it?
Yeah, I understand. Oh, boy. That. That's a lot to take in. So technically, the Israelis own the land.
Am I correct, Mr. W. King?
By promise, yes. By promise, they own the land because God promised it to them. But by birthright, the Arabs have a right to it as well. So what they should be doing is sharing. But no, they're not. They both want all of it or none of it. And that's what the battle is about. One group says, hey, I got to kick you out and eradicate you because of their reason. And the other one says, for their reason, I got to eradicate you. And that's the battle.
But why would you take out innocent children?
See, the Jewish people feel, well, we got to eradicate the Arabs because they use the excuse, well, the Arabs are no better than the Amorites, Hivites, Canaanites, whatever, of old that God told them to eradicate. But nowhere in the Bible did God say to them to eliminate Ishmael and his descendants. Nowhere. No. Never said that. Yeah, God told them to get rid of the Canaanites and so on.
I heard that the prime minister of whatever what you call him, the president, prime minister of Israel knew there was a war coming and did nothing to stop it.
Yeah, that was a claim that they said that they knew about it and they didn't do nothing to stop it. But on the other hand, they said, oh, they knew about it and they didn't do nothing to stop it. But on the other hand, there was a claim that the raid was planned and that had been planned and nobody knew about it till it happened. So there's stories from both angles.
Ruthless, though, Kenny. If they're actually attacking a hospital.
Oh, yeah. Hamas, Ruth, that's the way they are. They don't have no... Hamas has no... They put no value on human life. And to them, you got to understand their underlying belief, okay? They have as their core belief Allah and the Quran. And to them, a Jewish person is no better than a cockroach.
About as bad as what Hitler used to do.
In fact, most Arab people, when they see a rat, you know what they say? There goes another Jew.
Oh, wow.
That's their belief.
Hitler gassed the Jews.
That's not nice.
6 million.
It's not nice, but that's what they say. And so people of color thought they had some bad things said about them. But can you imagine people looking at you and saying, oh, they see a rat, and they say, oh, there goes a man of color?
Wow.
All one blood. That's what the Bible says. Every race is important. But they do. The Arabs, especially Hamas, and those militants like that are very much against the Jewish people.
Uh-huh.
Their core belief is, if they see a rat or a mouse going by, oh, there goes another Jew.
Wow.
Sad, but that's what the way they believe, the way they... Yeah, well, how would they feel if someone, a Jew saw a cockroach and said, oh, there goes another Arab? They wouldn't like that comparison, would they? Well, that's why God, that's why Jesus said in his word, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye to them likewise.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want no one calling you names, don't go calling them names.
Right.
Well, now, well, guess what, Six? I'm really set for Six and Road tonight.
Very tall cup of coffee.
Ruthie brought me a coffee.
All right. There you go.
And I'm drinking some, too.
But, Ruth, you didn't put enough sugar in there.
I'm sorry.
She always puts too little sugar in there. She makes it like she makes it for herself because her being diabetic. And she knows I need more sugar than that. And they're like, ooh. A little, makes it a little strong.
Hi, Sally.
Whoa, I'm going in here, put a little sugar in this there.
Okay.
I don't mind strong coffee, but I need a little sugar with that. She must have forgot to put some in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, what's the next topic, guys? I'm hoping for something good.
Well, I have a topic I want everybody to do. Being that this is National Vision Awareness Month, also along with domestic violence, also along with breast cancer awareness, I want to put out a challenge to do a task of making a sandwich or pouring a cup of juice, pop, spirit, and a glass with your eyes closed, blindfolded, and next time, come back on Six in a Row and tell us how you did. And we're going to use the honor system. So hopefully you all do this, because often people ask me, well, how is it to do everything with my eyes closed? Well, same as I did when they were open, I go off of memory. But I get it done, me and the Most High get it done. And that's how I navigate the world. So if you want to take up the challenge, let's say you can make a sandwich, pour a drink, or try to clean with your eyes closed, and let me know how that turns out.
Yeah, right. Well, Six, can I tell you a little secret about how I pour a hot drink without getting scalded?
I'll have time for your jokes, Ken.
No, this ain't a joke. This is fact.
Okay.
And I can, everybody will be able to hear it over here at the Six and Road Show. When I take a little device, hang it over the top of my cup, and as it reaches the top, it goes. You hear that?
Okay, whatever that is. Stop that. Thank you.
But what my device does is goes, hear the beep?
Yeah.
That is what they call a liquid level indicator. It works on cold drinks as well as hot drinks.
Okay.
So that's my little cheat way of doing it.
Okay. Well, we're talking about those who are excited and want to wonder how it is. I don't think maybe you didn't hear me.
Right, but I just thought I'd let the cat out of the bag on how this guy who doesn't have any eyes does it.
You ever tell him that you're an Indian, Ken?
You're enjoying Six and Road. Like the Six Eyes Radio Network group, join the Six Eyes Radio Network group. Join the Six Eyes Radio Network group if you haven't done so already. And if you are a lover of cats like myself and you want to post a picture of your cat, you can post it on the Six Eyes Radio Network group page. Post your cats on the Six Eyes Radio Network group page. Did you see Trumpet up there, Ro?
What if you're not a cat lover, but you're in love with three previous seeing eye dogs?
Oh yeah.
Well, mainly it's for cats, but I guess we could squeeze a couple of dogs in. That'll be fine.
How are you going to say it's just a cat? Other dog is not a cat person.
All right, we'll open it up for dogs, too.
Somebody might say, well, I don't have a dog, I don't have a cat, but I have a bird.
Well, that's just going too damn far.
How is it going too far? Just say pets. Just post a picture of your pet.
The page was for Trumpet. What's up, buddy? Come here. Come here. Come here. Come on. Yeah. Say hello to Rose. We're talking about you.
Or in this case. In this case, since Trumpet is kind of like an emotional support animal. He is like a service animal to you. Why can't you just say cats or service animals only?
Because that would knock out the regular dog owners.
Well, I don't have a cat. I don't have a dog.
Well, go get you a cat tomorrow.
No.
No, she's got a bowl full of little fishies.
You don't have no fish either. I have no pet.
Enjoy your dinner, buddy. You enjoy your den-den? You enjoy your dinners, Robert? All right. So what's next? What's the next topic? Yeah,
okay. So
ready
this
for
is
that
a story. A woman is asked on the, this topic, I want to get your opinion. And since Missionary Ken's married, I want his opinion. So this woman is asked out on a date. The guy comes to pick her up. They go to the Cheesecake Factory as the restaurant choice.
All right now.
Now, let me finish the story before you say anything. Now, it's the restaurant of choice, the Cheesecake Factory. So they're there. They get there. She refuses to get out of the car because she didn't want to get taken to a chain restaurant for her first date with this person. So she decides to take out her phone and record the experience. And as she's recording herself, she's saying, "Oh, I look too good to be going on a date at Cheesecake Factory." She wish she would have took her somewhere else. And so she's recording all this. And come to find out, he did have a nicer place to take her, but she was an hour late. So when you are booking reservations at a restaurant, you have to be there on the time they tell you that your reservation is going to be, or someone else is taking your spot.
Well,
so because she was an hour late, they missed their reservation to whatever restaurant it was they were taking her to. So instead of not taking her on the date, he decided an alternative would be the Cheesecake Factory, but she didn't like that.
And what do I think?
Missionary King, being that you are a married man, what is your take on the situation of the woman complaining about being taken on a date to the Cheesecake Factory and feels she's entitled to a fancier restaurant? The same with you, Six. What is your thoughts on her and feeling entitled? She deserves a fancier restaurant instead of the Cheesecake Factory. And mind you, this is a first date. This is a get-to-know-you type of date. This is not, I already know you, we already started dating to form a relationship. No, this is the first date.
I'll let you take the floor first, Six.
All right. First off, if it was me and I'm planning something for my woman, she got all damn day to get ready and not be pussyfooting around getting ready. She got all day to get ready.
Let me hold on 1 second. This was during the weekday and she was coming from work. So I just want to put that out there so people know.
Okay, so she's coming from work. Okay. In this day and time, she's lucky she didn't get a Happy Meal from McDonald's or go to McDonald's. Anytime somebody is willing to do something for you, a nice gesture, appreciate it, because she could have been at home with a cupcake on the table and she wouldn't have liked that either. So a lot of people would have been happy to go to the Cheesecake Factory. At least it's showing that you cared about, you loved, you thought about. You know, so I think she was very immature, and I would have went there and ate, left her ass in the car.
She stayed in the car. He took her back home. After all of that, he took her back home.
No,
they never went inside Cheesecake Factory.
No. I wouldn't take her back home. I would go in there, eat my meal, and that's it. I'm not taking her back home. Now, some people might call that cruel, but no. Because what she don't appreciate, somebody else will. And you going out to dinner with Six Eyes? Come on, who's going to mess that up? So her ass would have been sitting in that car by herself, and I would have been in there eating. That's just me. I'm complete.
All right. Well, now here's my take on it. First off, her expecting to be taken to a fancier restaurant, okay? Her expecting that. And then because she doesn't show up on time, then when he still offers to take her out somewhere else, and then, I don't like this, shows that she's just too highfalutin for him, okay? She's trying to be too highfalutin. What if the guy can't – first off, it's a first date. If that's what she's expecting on the first date, what she's going to expect for the second, the sixth, the seventh? Excuse me, I'd be looking at her saying, if that's what you're expecting is filet mignon for every date,
or caviar,
honey, if I can't afford that, if all I could afford is a Big Mac, honey, if you're not willing to accept that, then, honey, you're not the woman for me. You got to go with what my budget is. You're supposed to love me for who I am, not for what you want to make me out to be. If I'm not a millionaire, honey, you're not going to make money just pop into my pocket. I don't have no – if I'm a person of a fixed income, don't think that I got a money tree in my backyard. Sorry, it ain't happening. So if you want fancy, go find someone who's got fancy. If you want a millionaire, look, there's doctors in town. Go try dating one of them. That'd be the way I saw it. And just like Six said, hey, if she got mad about it, she wanted to stay in the car. Yeah, okay. If I had the money, yeah, hey, you want to sit in the car? Go ahead. While you're in the car sulking, find yourself a way home, because I'll be hauling my butt into that restaurant. I'm going to enjoy my dinner since I didn't get a chance. And you find your own way home, because I sure ain't going to be hanging around a highfalutin snob like you. That's the end of that subject. And I'm complete.
So he took her back, but he drove her back home. They didn't go into Cheesecake Factory because of her complaining. He did take her back home. They didn't show that part in the video, but he said his piece when he got back in the car, and then he took her home. And a lot of people are on his side and not her side, because they say, why are you recording this? You thought people were going to be on your side and make him feel bad for not taking you to a fancy restaurant? There's nothing wrong with the Cheesecake Factory. You can get filet mignon at the Cheesecake Factory. It's going to be expensive, but there's nothing wrong with the Cheesecake Factory. See, she's valuing herself too high. This is how I see it. She's valuing herself too high with her standards.
Like I said, snob.
And any man who tries to get with her is going to have to meet her high standards, and they can't. Like you said, Missionary King, you don't have $1 million. So you cannot take her to, you're not going to be able to take her to a fancy restaurant. You can take her where you can afford it. And if Cheesecake Factory is it, then that's it. This is a first date. You're getting to know this man. This is not your third or fourth date. This is your first date with this person. And this is what I'm thinking, Missionary Ken and Six, is that let's say if they did make it to that fancy restaurant and they're sitting across from each other, they're eating their food, having a conversation, and they don't hit it off. She just got herself a good meal out of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
I think she was in it somewhat. She probably did want to get to know him because there's no way in the world you would agree to a date with somebody and not want to get to know them. And for those who do that, those are women and men who are doing it for the food. Like, okay, this person wants to take me out. Okay, I'll let them take me out. I ain't got to cook dinner. I'll let them take me out to whatever restaurant I want to go to so I can get what I want to eat, because depending on what restaurant they pick, they might not have nothing I like. But I can understand that if you decide ahead of time the restaurant because where you want to go, because the place you may pick might not have anything you like on the menu. I get that. So you say, okay, I'll do Cheesecake Factory because Cheesecake Factory has stuff on it I like. So I know I'm going to get me a good meal. But if he's picking the restaurant and it's a restaurant you never heard of, they may not have anything on there you may like. Here's another one for you. It's another date scenario. The girl gets asked out for drinks. They go to this restaurant that's an oyster bar. While they're sitting there at the table, they order their drinks. She orders oysters. Now, I guess the day they went, they must have had like their special with the oysters, because this woman ate 48 oysters while on this date that her and this guy was going out just for drinks. 48 oysters. So I heard the woman's side and I heard the guy's side. She said that the guy got up and left the table, just got up and left. He said he was going to the bathroom, just left and never came back. And left her there at the table eating his 48 oysters. Now the guy's side, he said, I invited her out for drinks. We get there, we're sitting there, we order our drinks. She proceeded to order the oysters. Now, you know when restaurants have specials, it's like maybe...
Come in.
$10, maybe $10 for the... $10 for the special, maybe $15.
Hold on. I'm on ready. Hold on, y'all.
You know what I'm saying? So maybe like $10, $20 for the special. So you figure if it's $10, you figure $10, and she had 48, so she just spent $40. She just ate $40 worth of oysters. You know, she just ate $40 worth of oysters. But he said, I didn't have a problem with her ordering that. But the thing is, she was trying to, because he said, let's go out, she was going to try to stick him with the bill to pay for her oysters. So she said he text her and say, here's the money for the drinks. because the bill came up to $100 and something because of the oysters and all he was doing was taking her out for drinks. He said once he saw her slurping and burping after eating the oysters, he had to get up and leave. And he told her he was going to the bathroom. He walked towards the bathroom. I guess like the hostess staying in the restaurant, he talked to that person, and then he left and left her there. And she got the bill, and she had to pay for her oyster. He said, I wouldn't mind if she ordered like some apple, they ate of them. Nah, I'm not paying for that. We only came out here for drinks.
So that's funny. That's funny you say that. So I took this chick out on this date, and when I tell you it was, she act like she never went to a restaurant. She act like nobody ever told her how to use her cutlery. She was too damn loud, and she ordered smothered pork chops with gravy. And she had her cutlery there, a fork, a knife. I would even, if she even would have picked up the salad fork and used that, I would have accepted that versus her picking up the damn pork chop with her fingers, eating the pork chop. I'm like, what are you doing? It's good. So I let her finish one pork chop. I said, well, maybe she'll see the look on my face, and she'll pick up a fork and a knife. No. So you know what I did? I got my food, sat at the other table, and that was it. I mean, she was eating. I mean, that was just barbaric. Like, she was a damn cave woman. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. So, needless to say, that was the last date. That was the most embarrassing thing in the world. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I think everybody's had a worse date.
This is my message. Yeah, that was a terrible date for you, dude.
Yeah.
But this is my message to women and men out there. If you get invited on a date, you and that person who invited you on the date is supposed to make the plans of where y'all going to go, and y'all have it set in stone so that if you're not a Cheesecake Factory person, then you let him know, I'm not a Cheesecake Factory restaurant person. These are the restaurants I like to go to, so that he knows that ahead of time. Because if you wait, nobody, this point blank period, nobody wants their time wasted, and you just wasted that man's time for no reason. Because you didn't want to eat at Cheesecake Factory. You was an hour late, knowing you was going on a date. You could have called the man and said, look, I'm running late from work. Can you call the restaurant and make the reservations a little later? And that would have made it all good. You would have still had your fancy restaurant. But no consideration for this man. You had him waiting in front of your apartment for an hour. So if you're going to plan a date with anyone, have consideration of their time. Make sure you and this person are on the same page of where y'all going to eat, what are y'all going to do. Because pockets ain't big pockets. Your pockets ain't big pockets. You know what I said about the Cheesecake Factory woman? I said, I bet you when she's home alone and she don't feel like cooking, she eat damn Cheesecake Factory. But for a date, she won't eat Cheesecake Factory.
You gotta
yeah,
be considerate
like
of people's time.
And like that second scenario, I mean, they already agreed on, okay, we're going to go out for drinks. But then when she gets there ordering those oysters, it's like she was saying to him, okay, I'm going to take you for a ride. And he was smart enough to see that, hey, this woman's a con woman wanting to take me for all my money. And so he was just smart enough to say, oh, no, you're not. So he just walks out. He just leaves her to pay
mm-hmm.
for her own meal.
Right, but people were saying he was not just her in the wrong, but he was in the wrong, too, for leaving. He could have said something and said, look, I'm only paying for the drinks because I invited you out for drinks. You can pay for the oysters. He could have said that, sir, but instead of doing that, he just walked out.
Well, my own opinion, hey, I think he was still right in what he did because, hey, she was trying to take advantage of him, and doing so, she learned a valuable lesson because she wasted his time.
The 48, no one eats 48 oysters. I'm sorry, I'm not an oyster person, but if it was shrimp, I love shrimp, but I would not be sitting there at the table eating 48 shrimp when a person invited me on a date just for drinks. He said if she would have ordered like an appetizer, he would have been okay with that. But 48 oysters, yeah, that's taking the cake.
That was not just taking the cake. That was taking the cake, the cookies, the pies, and all the other desserts with it.
So I want to ask you this question. Missionary Ken, what was you and Ruthie's first date?
Well, first off, it wasn't at no restaurant. we just visited as friends, kind of just visited as friends. And I'd go over visit her on her front porch or inside while her grandfather was there. And then there was times that we'd go over and visit another friend of ours, Adele and Judy Apgar, and we visited like that, but there was no actual dating going on.
We rode bikes together.
Oh, okay.
And then finally, after we decided to get married, we actually did, you could call it, quote, dating, like courting, but even then, it was still the same thing. I'd go over and visit her with her grandfather right there. There was no going on in the car together alone or anything like that. There was someone there with us. They saw everything going on.
I took you out in my old 1956
Ford Fairlane Thunderbird. Okay. Yeah, so For me, I've been to, like, a chain restaurant for a date. I have no problem with it. If you say we're going out for drinks, then most places the person's going to take you to a bar. If you're going out for drinks, they're going to take you to a bar for drinks. They're not going to take you somewhere where you can be hanging out a whole lot of food. Bars have, like, appetizers and stuff that you can order. Most bars, they don't do no whole full menu unless they're a bar/restaurant. But other than that, you know, it's just like wings. Like, you get wings and fries and stuff like that. But you're not going to get no big meal items like filet mignon.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I'll do. The next time Road and Six, y'all, and the rest of the team of Six Eyes Radio Networks in town, I'll take you out for a drink, but it ain't going to be nothing alcoholic. I'll take you out for coffee.
No,
all right, cool.
Starbucks. That's cool with me.
I don't think we got a Starbucks, but we got a McDonald's.
Yeah, I'm good with that. So you've been tuned in to 6-8 on the Road to Solid Radio, 6-8 Radio. We are on every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can always join us and give your opinion on the topics that we speak about. And the number to the Road to Solid Radio is 845-277-9356. The number to 6-8 Radio is 424-243-9617. If you dial any of those numbers during the show, just press the 1 or let us know you want to go live and give your opinion. We will see you next Tuesday with some more great topics and discussion. Peace, one love.
Good night, America.
I will see you later on tonight for the Indie Experience on Road to Starting Radio. And the next show on 6-8 Radio is Missionary Ken. Take it away.
First off, it will be the 6-8 Children's Bible Study Time at 4 p.m. on Station 2. You call 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340 at 4 p.m. Eastern on Station 2 at the 6-8 Radio Network. And then at 7 p.m. here on Station 1, you call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 7 p.m. Eastern for the Wednesday night Bible study with, of course, yours truly, Missionary Ken Wolfgang, Sister Ruth, and we'll be having Tim Gruber. He starts the first of the round with the song and poem, since Brother Quick wasn't feeling well and is unable to do it at this present time. So it will be Timothy Gruber doing the song and poem, so you'll enjoy that. Does he beat Pastor Bonnet and Emily, who are tied for the lead at present, 22-26? Will Tim take that lead or will he not? We will find out.
Okay. So we're going to say peace, one love. We appreciate you. See you at the next show. Bye-bye.
God bless everybody.